you know, it's not always a good idea to eat and drive. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get to our Bible Jeopardy clue this morning. Here we go. The category.
Acts and Journeys of the Apostles.
And here's your clue. Name a Jew born in Pontus. Name a Jew born in Pontus. Was it Paul? Could it be Erastus? Maybe it's Judas, or perhaps Aquila. Name a Jew born in Pontus. Paul, Erastus, Judas, or Aquila. You can find the correct answer in Acts 18 and 2. And, of course, when you do,
call now, 318-484-2500, or toll-free, 877-464-2500. The Wade Hampton Show.
The Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Greetings, and we welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're tuned in to the Pleasant Green Baptist Church Media Outreach Ministry with our anointed pastor, Reverend Michael H. Grimes. Join in as he preach and teach the Word of God. This message is already in progress.
Found in Matthew chapter 16. Just for those who may not read this, when you get home, I'll read 13 through 18. It's a lot more to it than we can deal with in a few minutes, but I'll give it to you as God gave it to me. Matthew chapter 16. I want to begin at verse 13 down to verse 18. Amen. All right, I'm reading from the King James Version. Here's how my Bible reads. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The word of the Lord is already blessed. Let us say amen.
Amen.
I also want to use your theme, the church built to last.
Amen.
Built to last, the church. Thank you, Sister Constance and other ushers. I come to discover that church means so much and so many different things to so many different people. Some people think that they own the church. They will boldly stick their chests out and roll their necks and say to you, "I've been here for so long. I was here when you got here, and I'll be here when you're gone." Those are people who have mixed up notions about what the church is, or who represents the church, or what the church is all about. Some people find that church is a place for courting. We come to meet our loved one here.
We come here for cliques and friendships. But the church is not about that. Some people come here for their church politics. But church is not about your perspective, nor about my perspective. It's all about him and not about us. Because if Jesus is the one building the church, then it's got to be about him. It has to be about his rules and his processes and his procedures and his perspective. Now we come up with these ideas about the church because we don't read scripture. We don't know anything about church politics. We don't know anything about church etiquette, pulpit etiquette, or any of these sort of things. We come out of our narrow minds and our narrow thinkings about what we believe the church ought to be. But I simply came to say, if you don't get anything else I say today, remember this. The church is not about you. It's not about you. We are too finite for it to be about us. We're not strong enough. We're too fickle for the church to be about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about him. It's about the church reaching out.
Yes, sir.
It's about our mission as a church, evangelizing, witnessing to those in our communities, trying to draw them in. Somebody said to me one day, if we catch them, God will clean them. And that's what we ought to do as a church. So we don't have time, folks, to be bickering, fussing, and fighting among ourselves as the disciples did, trying to figure out who's the greatest. Well, Jesus said, none of us put a little child into the midst of heaven except you have a spirit. Like this little child, you ain't getting nowhere near the kingdom. So we have work to do as a church. The church is built to last. I didn't build it. I'm not building on it. Except giving what God has given me to do within it. Jesus is the one who is building the church.
Amen.
So one day, just to get us rolling here, one day an elderly woman walked into a church. The friendly usher greeted her at the door, helped her up this flight of steps, then said to her, "Where would you like to sit?" He asked her politely. "The front row, please," she answered. He said, "You really don't want to sit up there," said the usher. "The pastor is really boring, and you may fall asleep on the front row." The older woman looked at him and said, "Do you happen to know who I am?" The usher said, "No, I don't know who you are." She said, "I'm the pastor's mother." He looked at her and said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Good." So we have so many ideas about the church and so many mixed up notions about the church. But what I've discovered, if you don't bring anything to church, you're probably not going to get anything out. So my brothers and sisters, the setting of this text. This event took place, according to verse 13, in one of the towns on the outskirts of Caesarea Philippi.
Yeah.
This city was originally called Panaeus, after the Greek god Pan, who, according to pagan mythology, was born in a nearby cave. Caesar Augustus later gave the region to Herod the Great, who built a temple in Panaeus to honor the emperor. Herod's son Philip, the tetrarch, inherited and greatly expanded the city, renaming it after Caesar. He would later add the title Philippi to give a dual honor even to himself. Distinguishing it from the Mediterranean coastal town, which was west of Jerusalem, with the same name. So many of you will recall that this region had a very heavy pagan influence. I find it so interesting that Jesus would bring his disciples to a pagan town to establish himself and his church, and to establish himself as the Son of God in a pagan city. You see, it doesn't matter where people serve, how you serve, Jesus must be recognized as the Son of God. So Jesus asked his disciples a question that is straightforward. And Jesus knows how to ask questions. All through his ministry, he asked people questions. He asked them, who do people say? That I, the Son of Man, am. What are people saying about me? What do people think about me? Who do people think that I am? He is not asking for gossip or for statements from foolish people. He's not asking about the opinion of the religious leaders. He already knew what they thought about him. They called him a Beelzebub and a wine bibber. He knew what they thought about him. He wanted to know what people thought who encountered him along the way. Yes. Jesus wants a report on how the common people are responding to him and his message. Are they understanding that he wants to know? Do they yet recognize who he really is? Three things, and we're done. First of all, what the people said. In verse 14. The disciples respond that the people had various opinions. That some said that Jesus was John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Remember that this was the opinion of Herod Antipas in Matthew chapter 14. And that idea had come from various advisors. Some of the others agreed that Jesus was special and so thought he might be Elijah, the prophet which Malachi 4 and 5 alludes to as returning as the forerunner of the Messiah. Others said that Jesus was Jeremiah, the prophet, the weeping prophet. And this was based on a tradition that had developed that Jeremiah had taken the Ark of the Covenant and the altar of incense out of the temple prior to the looting and destruction of the Babylonians and hid them somewhere on Mount Nebo. This tradition continued, and they began to say this about Jeremiah, but it is an untruth. There is no foundation to this whatsoever. Still, others agreed that Jesus was someone special, but they did not know who. And that's why they say some of the other prophets. Perhaps he was just one of the other prophets of old who had been risen back to life. Now, today people are still the same way. So we still don't know who he is. We come to church every Sunday. We sing in the choir every Sunday. We're on the deacon board every Sunday. We are usher every Sunday. And I must say it, some of us are behind the sacred desk and we still don't know who Jesus is. Oh, I know what you say. I've said it myself. I know he's your Rose of Sharon. I know he's your Lily of the Valley. I know he's your bright and morning star. I know he's your midnight rider. But do you really know who he is? I know that. The philosophers, they just reveal Jesus as some great teacher. The empathies, they call him the great moral example. The liberal religionists, they say he provided the model of how we should live. The atheists, they've even said Jesus is the greatest among the sons of men. Rock stars have sung the song that Jesus Christ is the superstar. But in every case, the acclaim and the pronouncement of these people is far below who Jesus really is.